If you have a preschool child in New York City, you're almost certainly aware of the gifted and talented tests and the length that some parents go to in order to prepare their four-year-olds for the exam, because it can determine their educational futures in the public schools. Julie Shapiro, a reporter who covers downtown and education for DNAinfo.com, joins us now. She has written How to Prepare Your Preschooler for Gifted and Talented Tests for that website, and I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show. Hi.
Thank you so much.
What's the purpose of these tests? Aren't four-year-olds rather young to take any kind of test?
They are. This is probably the first standardized test that a child has ever taken, and it's to determine which kids will get into the very prestigious and very selected gifted and talented programs in the city.
Well, since they can't read, or most of them can't read at that age,
they can't.
What kind of tests are they given?
They're given tests where there's a tester who's reading the question, so they are not expected to read. It's actually made up of two separate tests. There's the OLSAT, which is more logic, reasoning, the type of thing you usually think of as an intelligence exam, and then the Bracken, which tests things like school readiness concepts, numbers, colors, shapes, the kind of thing that you actually really can study for.
So it's a combination IQ test and knowledge test.
Exactly.
You're right that last year, 14,088 four-year-olds took the test, and only those that scored in the 90th percentile were eligible for gifted and talented programs. Why is such a high score needed?
I think that it's important that the children really are able to do accelerated work. This isn't just gifted and talented like maybe existed a while back where you were doing a couple of extra projects or something a little bit special during the day. These really are accelerated classes, so they have to make sure that kids will be able to keep up once they get into the program.
When I went to school, there was a program called the IGC classes, and they were discontinued, I think, because they were considered elitist. Are we back to this kind of elitism?
I think that there is some concern about the gifted and talented test because you see many more children from neighborhoods like Tribeca, the Upper East and Upper West Side. Many more of those children are taking the test than those in the outer boroughs of some neighborhoods, and many more are scoring well enough to get into the programs. So there is some concern about whether there really is an equality of opportunity to get into the gifted and talented programs. Many parents don't even know about the tests.
And are these courses being made available in some of the poorer neighborhoods?
There are gifted and talented programs throughout the city. Some of the most selective are citywide, which means that children from across the city have an equal chance of attending as long as they score very high. You mentioned 90th percentile. Sometimes you need even the 99th percentile to get into some of these programs. Sometimes even children in the 99th percentile don't even get in. So it's very, very selective.
So we're going to start seeing an Occupy movement, the 1%. Being considered the only ones who are getting a decent education. Well, how does the gifted and talented kindergarten compare to regular kindergarten?
What you're seeing is a combination of things. There's accelerated coursework, for sure. So children will be reading above grade level, doing math above grade level.
Well, they'll be reading. Aren't generally given reading lessons in kindergarten, or just barely given reading lessons.
It's true. I think that a lot of the kids who start kindergarten in a gifted and talented program may already know how to read, or they'll certainly be going more quickly through all the basics and beginning parts than.
Will these be in regular schools, or are there special schools that are devoted totally to the gifted and talented children?
There are both. So the slightly less selective, although still very selective, gifted and talented programs are in general education public schools. So it might be one section per grade, and then the kids are integrated for other subjects. But the really selective ones are totally special schools. So schools like Nest on the Lower East Side, the Anderson School on the Upper West Side.
Well, there are some schools that are already considered higher performing than others. Do they even need this kind of program?
It's interesting. I think that what's great about it is that there are very high-performing neighborhood schools throughout the city, but you have to live in those neighborhoods in order to go there. So PS 234 in Tribeca does very well, but you have to live in Tribeca to get in.
Or there are schools in Park Slope.
Right. But the great thing about
the Upper West Side,
gifted and talented, is that it's supposed to be a great equalizer. You can live anywhere in the city and apply to go to one of these schools. So it's an opportunity for any kid, no matter where they live.
My guest is Julie Shapiro, a reporter who covers downtown and education for DNAinfo.com. Your article was How to Prepare Your Preschooler for Gifted and Talented Tests. So are you giving advice here?
Yes, there's lots of advice for parents. Parents really can do a number of things to prepare their child. Some parents spend thousands and thousands of dollars on consultants. So just like parents spend money to help their kids get into college, they're also spending money for test preparation. But there's a lot that a parent can do themselves to prepare the child. Everything from going through practice tests to just familiarizing their kids with the idea of a test, that there's only one right answer on a question, that they need to sit still and listen, that type of thing.
Well, there has to be concern that this gives the advantage to children whose parents can afford prep classes and can afford the time to prepare their kids.
Absolutely.
A really bright kid who doesn't come from that kind of background is not going to be, not even going to do well in this kind of test.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern about that, because even though this type of intelligence test is supposed to be something that you really can't study much for, there is a huge advantage to a child who's seen the material over and over and has been coached in it. And there are some experts who believe it's actually wrong to do that because it's giving an unfair advantage to some kids, but even more than that, not fair to the kids who get in and then are all of a sudden out of their depth in class, and they may dislike school because they're not able to keep up, and that's unfair to everybody.
And have you spoken to parents about this? I'm assuming
yes.
Most parents want their kids to do well and would like to get them into these programs.
Yes, parents are extremely stressed out because just like anything else in New York, it's very competitive. And if you talk to people on the playground, there's always someone who's going one step beyond what you're doing. So some parents give up altogether, but everyone wants to give their kid the best advantage.
You spoke with a director of one of the test prep companies that some parents are sending their preschoolers to. What advice did she give you about how parents should tell their children, their four-year-olds, about this test?
Really, the parents should not mention the word test. Even at 4 years old, we already have a negative conception of the word test. So you don't want to stress your kid out, because stressed out kids don't do well. So just tell them they're going to an activity, someone's going to ask them some questions. And these experts I spoke to said that they have talked to parents who told their kid they were taking a high-stakes test that would determine where they would go to school. Then the kid didn't end up getting into any schools and kept asking, why didn't anyone want me? Why wasn't I good enough? That is not a problem that you need to saddle your four-year-old with.
There seem to be a lot more children in the city than there were 10 years ago. Is that just my imagination?
No, there are some extremely fast-growing neighborhoods. The one that I focus on specifically for DNA Info is Lower Manhattan, where the population has more than doubled in the past 10 years, and the birth rate is still continuing to rise. So there's definitely school overcrowding issues.
And we keep on hearing about the Board of Ed closing down schools. So
that's true.
Is that adding to the overcrowding, or are there enough public schools to meet the demand?
Yeah, at least in the parts of Manhattan that I covered, there are enough school seats, but not in the right neighborhoods. So I think, you know, some neighborhoods have grown dramatically and others are shrinking, and the school age population is shrinking, but it's hard to convince parents to send their children outside of the neighborhood for elementary school. So there's a big push to build seats in neighborhoods that are growing quickly.
How does school choice work? Are parents allowed to send their children to other schools if they are better performing?
For general education, so not gifted and talented, you have priority at your zone school, but you don't have priority at another zone. So you could apply to go, if you live in Manhattan, you could apply to send your kid to Brooklyn, maybe if you work in Brooklyn. But if that school fills up with students in the zone, you don't have priority. So if there's room, you definitely can, but it's a question of odds.
And you'd have to take your four-year-old or five-year-old to school every day.
Yes.
They're not supplying school buses.
There are. I'm not sure the number. I think it's if 11 children live along a route more than half a mile or a mile away. So if you're the only kid from Manhattan going to Brooklyn, they're not going to send a yellow bus just for your one kid.
How do charter schools fit into this equation? Are we seeing a rise in the number of charter schools because there simply aren't enough public school classrooms in certain districts?
We are seeing a rise in charter schools. One thing that you're seeing is sometimes if there's available space in a school building, you're seeing charter schools move in and actually be in the same building alongside the public school with a different admissions process usually. But it really depends that there's a huge variety of programs.
And does the gifted and talented test apply at all to charter schools?
No, at least none of the ones that I'm aware of. It's really a separate process. Charter schools are usually lottery-based. And not ability-based. So they're more of an across-the-board for everybody.
And how has the Board of Education responded to the demand for more public schools? Are there plans for new elementary schools throughout the city?
There are, especially in Lower Manhattan. There have been two new schools that have opened in the past couple of years and another new one opening next fall. And that's just elementary schools. So you're definitely seeing more seats being built. But parents in Lower Manhattan say that it's still not enough. They're advocating for even more schools.
So what would be your advice to the parent of a four-year-old? Try to get the kid into one of these programs?
I think it certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, I think it would maybe not be the best idea to spend hundreds of hours preparing a child and staking all of your hopes on that. But I think it never hurts to have options. And if you're applying to Gifted and Talented, you still apply to your local zone school, so you have a backup. It's not Gifted and Talented or nothing. But I think the more options you have for your child, the better off you are.
Well, they'll get into Gifted and Talented kindergarten. And would that just continue through the rest of their school years?
It carries you through elementary school usually. There are some schools that go up higher where you may get to stay on. But generally, Gifted and Talented carries you through elementary school.
Is this the only test of its kind, or are kids then given other tests when they're older?
For other programs, like for specialized high schools, there are all sorts of other tests. But once you get into a Gifted and Talented program that you tested into when you were four, you don't have to take another test when you're seven or eight to stay in there.
Listeners have been writing in. Jeff in Manhattan writes, my child qualified for G&T kindergarten, and we were given five options and asked to rank these according to our preferences. We did so and were offered our last choice, which seemed like a less attractive option than the others. You have to hold on for a second. I've suddenly lost that. Yes, yes, you did. Somebody asked me a question, and I gave the answer there. It says it seemed like a less attractive option than a local non-G&T school dual language program, which is what we chose. Did we make a mistake to pass on the G&T offer?
I don't think so. I mean, parents really need to go with their instinct about what's best for their child. Just because it's a G&T school doesn't mean that it's a better fit for your child than some other school. And a dual language school offers a fantastic opportunity that the G&T school really wouldn't have. One thing to note for parents is don't rank a school as one of your choices if you really wouldn't want to go there, because you might get put in that seat.
Susan from Morningside Heights writes, the G&T tests currently being used by New York City do not test for giftedness the way the Stanford-Binet does. Instead, it tests for school readiness. This screens out children who may turn out to have learning disabilities, which usually don't emerge until first or second grade. Albert Einstein, for instance, would have been screened out from today's gifted program since he was not only brilliant, but he was dyslexic, I think. So, I mean, that this is an issue as well.
Yeah, I think there is no perfect way to test a child's intelligence, especially when they're only 4 years old. Maybe there isn't even a great way. This is what the city uses. So the best you can do is prepare your kid to do well on the measure that the city uses.
Well, why have we even come to this point?
It's a good question. I think that parents always want the best for their children, and they want to be – I think there's an enormous demand for these accelerated programs. And the city has to find some way of deciding who can get in and who can't.
Are we seeing the same competition for the high schools now that there are more school-age kids in the city?
You are seeing enormous amount of competition for the specialized high schools, definitely.
Julie Shapiro is a reporter who covers downtown and education for DNAinfo.com. She's written an article for that website called How to Prepare Your Preschooler for Gifted and Talented Tests. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.